You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Stephen Helmerich, our chief economist and head of research. Stephen, great to have you on again.
Thanks, Belinda. Thanks very much.
Now, we're going to delve into the consumer again with the August release of the CBA Household Spending Intentions series. Now, this is where we use publicly available Google Trends data in conjunction with our own internal spending data. Now, the report for August obviously takes into account the stage four lockdowns in Victoria. What overall were the impressions for how household spending intentions performed in August?
Well, thanks very much. And yes, in July, we saw really good improvements in household spending intentions across a number of categories. So home buying, retail, travel, entertainment, and education were all up in July. Unfortunately, in August, the situation is that all those categories have stalled. So home buying, retail, travel, entertainment, and education spending intentions essentially went sideways in the month of August. And pretty clearly that was due to the stage four lockdowns happening in Melbourne.
Now, obviously, these stage three and then stage four lockdowns have had quite a dramatic impact on both the Melbourne and the Victorian economy and then the overall Australian economy. So when we look at our own economic forecasts, we had the second quarter GDP number. We saw the Australian economy contract by 7% in the second quarter, which is just unprecedented. We're also expecting a small negative in the third quarter, and a lot of that is driven by the lockdowns in Victoria. One of the things that we're also seeing is an unprecedented amount of state variation amongst the state economies in Australia. What's the general view on how the Victorian economy will perform and how, you know, we're really starting to see the impact of those lockdowns, not only on the next few months, but also on the pace of recovery?
Well, as you say, we can see, pretty clearly a huge divergence in growth outlook, particularly not just in those Q2 GDP numbers, but we expect in the third quarter GDP numbers. We can see that in things like job seeker payments. So that's the unemployment benefit. So job seeker payments coming into Commonwealth Bank accounts have increased the most in Victoria, more so than New South Wales and Queensland, really worth highlighting. So it is pretty clear from the data we see, the household spending intentions data, the weekly credit and debit card spending data, job seeker payments coming into bank accounts, that unfortunately, and I think not surprisingly, the Victorian economy is going to be the worst performing of the Australian states over the course of this year.
And we certainly have seen that in our forecasts as well. So when we published our most recent growth state product forecasts, and these were for 2020-2021, we estimate that the Victorian economy will contract by around 6%, and that's almost double that of the contraction we expect in New South Wales. And as a result, we also have the labour market deteriorating more in Victoria than other states, with the unemployment rate peaking at close to 9%, and that's a little bit higher than what we have nationwide as well. Now, turning our attention to the August HSI in detail, and we certainly did see some of the categories perform quite differently. We saw a lot of variation in the categories this month. What were some of the highlights that you've noticed?
Well, firstly, home buying, and that's always a special attention every month. Home buying intentions did pull back a little bit in August. But it's worth noting they were quite high in July. They recovered almost back to their pre-COVID levels in July. So a bit of a pullback in August made a lot of sense, and that was particularly around online searches for home buying. So I think the lockdowns in Greater Melbourne certainly do look like they've hit confidence a bit there. But it is worth highlighting that, you know, the very low level of interest rates that the Reserve Bank has set, and therefore the very low level of mortgage rates, is encouraging more applications for home loans. And so we recently revised our house price forecast for a peak to trough decline of 6%. Previously, we were looking for a decline of 10%. So the housing market looks a little bit better than we originally thought. We did see a pullback in retail spending intentions in August. But again, that was from a very high levels in July. So it looked like Melbournians might have gone out and done a lot of shopping late July to get ready for the extra lockdowns, and then that pulled back again in August. So particularly a reduction in spending on things like clothing and footwear, general retail, and even the household furnishings and equipment sector that have been really strong pulled back a bit in August as well.
What about the travel spending intentions series? Obviously, Australians do love to travel. We've had a lot of international and state border closures. How's that category holding up at the moment?
Yeah, that travel spending intentions weakened dramatically early in the COVID-19 period, but then through June and July, they had improved. Still a negative and still not back to where they were pre-COVID. But again, in August, we saw really a stalling of that improvement. So not surprisingly, very weak spending intentions on things like airlines, cruise ships, travel agents, hotel, motels, you know, bus and car rentals. Although there was a bit of a pickup in things like camper vans, so maybe that means people holidaying more at home. But definitely a stalling in that travel spending intentions. And we saw a very similar thing with entertainment. So entertainment spending intentions, which had been really weak early in the COVID-19 period, recovered in June and July, stalled again through August. So that's things like eating out at restaurants, buying alcohol at licensed premises, we're all fairly weak. Art galleries, live music venues, dance studios, movie theatres, musical theatre, all fairly soft through August.
Now, one of the brighter spots was the health and fitness category. What do we see improving in that category?
Yeah, health and fitness spending has been quite volatile in recent months, but we did see a pickup in August. And that was related to both a slight increase in spending on some areas. Again, bicycle shops remain very strong. Golf courses and sporting goods stores all improving on the month. And also we saw an increase in Google searches related to health. So that's health and fitness spending was certainly one of the bright spots for the month of August.
And another one was the motor vehicle purchase intention series. Now, this has been quite weak for some time, but over recent months, we have seen some improvement come through. What's the latest there? And do you think is it tied to the housing market?
Yeah, the motor vehicle spending intention is really quite interesting. Through all of or most of 2019, it was really weak. And then late 2019 and pre-COVID 2020, we saw quite a pickup in motor vehicle spending intentions. They pulled back early in the COVID period, but increased again in August. And in absolute terms, they're now actually back in positive territory for the first time in the COVID-19 period. So that's good to see. And as you say, I think that probably is related to some confidence returning to the housing market. Reserve Bank has published research saying that motor vehicle spending intentions are highly correlated to confidence around home buying, which I think makes sense given usually the car is the second largest item people would spend money on, or the second most expensive. So it's quite pleasing to see that improvement in motor vehicle spending intentions through August.
And I guess turning our attention to the outlook, like one of the questions I get asked a lot is, how is the consumer going to face the tapering of the fiscal stimulus package? We know through our own internal income data, there's been a huge increase in income growth in households. We also saw that in the second quarter at national accounts, where we saw the household savings rate increase to 20%, the highest in many decades. Do you think consumers could improve their spending outlook from here, or will it take more income support? And do you think that income support in the form of income tax cuts that we may hear about in the October budget, is that what's needed to help improve the consumer from here, or is it more confidence?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. So I think it's going to be confidence around the virus and the economy opening up, particularly back down in Victoria. So people have confidence to move around the economy and spend. And of course, one person's spending is another person's income. And we need to see income improve. And I think there's multiple areas there. One is, especially is jobs. So the best way to improve income will be to see more job creation. And the government's very focused on that. And of course, we've got the government income support packages, particularly Job Seeker and Job Keeper. So the real challenge for the government is to, if you like, taper off the Job Seeker, Job Keeper support programs concurrently with the improvement in employment, so that people's income is no longer provided by the government, but provided by employment. Now, matching the decline in Job Seeker and Job Keeper perfectly to the increase in employment is going to be an incredibly difficult task. So it's probably worth the government over-providing income rather than under-providing through that transition period. And a way we think we can really help do that is bring forward the income tax cuts that were due to start on the 1st of July 2022. We think they should be brought forward, and we're hoping that that will be part of the budget that we get on the 6th of October.
3 weeks.
So all those policies combined. Yeah, yeah, the budget coming around quickly.
It is.
Great. It's a great time for economists.
Stephen, appreciate your insights again. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Belinda. My pleasure.
Now, the data used in the Commonwealth Bank Household Spending Intentions series is a combination of the CBA data and publicly available Google Trends data. Where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis, and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement. And you can find Stephen Halmerich's report on the August Household Spending Intentions, which is published on Tuesday, the 15th of September, on combankresearch.com.au.